Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Once in a while, someone will ask me if maybe we should celebrate a Passover Seder at least once to see what it's like. Lots of Christian churches around us do it. I'm asked often by the children at our school, even, if we celebrate it, because some of them do. Some Lutherans will even hold a Passover Seder. It's certainly useful for us to understand what the Old Testament Passover was and what its meal signified. But you don't have to participate in it in order to understand it, any more than you have to participate in circumcision to understand it. To bring the Passover and its meal back up from the Old Testament and repeat it, when we have a New Testament replacement for it that is so vastly superior to it, I can't think of a good reason ever to do it. It wouldn't be right to celebrate and to stare at the shadow when we have in our very midst the very body that cast the shadow back into the Old Testament. As Paul wrote to the Colossians, the Old Testament festivals were all a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. For 1,500 years, from the days of Moses until Maundy Thursday, God's people Israel were commanded to celebrate the Passover in commemoration of that night in Egypt when God's destroying angel passed over the houses of the Israelites where he saw the blood of the lamb painted on the door frames of the house. Jesus was eager to celebrate that Passover with his disciples, because he, the very Lamb of God, was about to fulfill what the Passover was all about and replace it with something better. Now, even though Jews have continued to celebrate the Passover for the 2,000 years since Maundy Thursday, in fact, tomorrow evening is when Passover begins, and many Jews will be celebrating it then. The truth is that Passover, the one that Jesus celebrated with his disciples on Maundy Thursday, was the very last legitimate Old Testament Passover in history, even as it was the beginning of the New Testament Passover that has no ending, no end date, but keeps going on and on and on until the end of the world. Let's take just a moment to compare the Old Testament Passover with the New Testament Passover. And as we do, we'll see just how far superior the New Testament Passover really is. Both Passovers were instituted by God. The Old Testament Passover was about deliverance from slavery in Egypt. That slavery, as you know, was hard, was harsh. It was oppressive and painful and sometimes lethal for the Israelites. But it was still, at that, only a temporary and only a superficial slavery. A slavery of the body, but not of the soul. The New Testament Passover is about deliverance from a slavery that is far worse. A slavery of both body and soul. A slavery to sin and death and the power of the devil, all of which are far worse taskmasters than the Egyptian pharaohs ever were. And worst of all, the slavery to sin cuts a person off from God and continues even after death, continues for all eternity. The Old Testament Passover involves a spotless young lamb. Actually, it involved thousands of spotless young lambs, one for each Israelite household in Egypt. To kill a lamb was nothing out of the ordinary. But the New Testament Passover involves a single lamb, the lamb of God's own choice, the only begotten Son of God and the Son of Man, one perfect, sinless life, whose blood is infinitely precious. To slaughter 1,000 lambs means nothing, but to slaughter the one Son of God, that means everything. At the Old Testament Passover, only the firstborn of the families in Egypt was actually at risk. Only the firstborn of the house would die. So only the firstborn was actually saved by the lamb's blood painted on the door frames of the houses. But all men are subject to death and condemnation because all men are sinners. So when the blood of the Lamb of God is applied to the heart through faith and holy baptism, it saves from death everyone to whom it is applied. It doesn't just save the firstborn. It saves the whole family of believers by means of the death of the firstborn Son of God. The Old Testament Passover meal consisted mainly of roasted lamb, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs, according to the law of Moses. The lamb had to be roasted in the fire. The bread had to be unleavened, both because of the haste with which the Israelites were to leave Egypt on that first Passover night, and to symbolize that we must approach God without the yeast sin. The herbs had to be bitter to remind them of their bitter slavery in Egypt. Well, there are no bitter herbs at all in the New Testament Passover meal instituted by Christ on Maundy Thursday. All the bitterness of sin and death was tasted by Christ for us on that very night and on the next day. The New Testament Passover meal consists of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, as we'll hear in the epistle on Easter Sunday, and of the wine of joy and gladness. And it consists, of course, of the lamb, not the meat of an animal, but the very body and blood of the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for us on the cross. His body and blood that are truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine, so that the bread is truly his body and the wine is truly his blood. The body and blood of the Lamb, a true communion with our Savior Jesus Christ, in which he visits us here in space and time, gives us of himself, and unites us to his death and resurrection. The Old Testament Passover happened only once at the time of Moses. All the Jewish Passovers after that first Passover were mere commemorations of that one event. There was no more destroying angel out to get the firstborn. There was no more blood on the door frames of the Jewish houses. Just a remembrance of God's great deliverance of their Israelite forefathers. Whereas the New Testament Passover is also a remembrance. This do, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. And his sacrifice only took place once. But the New Testament Passover is more than just a remembrance of something that happened in the past. The New Testament Passover is an ongoing thing. An ongoing remembrance of Christ, who not only died as the Passover lamb, but rose from the dead and lives to save his people and is really present with us every time we celebrate the supper. His blood is constantly being applied to sinners through the means of grace. Our deliverance from sin and death is still constantly being carried out by him, and his body and blood, once offered on the cross, are here offered to his people as often as you drink it, as often as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. He continues to forgive us our sins by these means, and by them he continues to preserve us in the faith and guard and protect us from sin, death, and the very real devil, who is still out to get all the children of God. But we're kept safe by the body and blood of the Lamb, whose meal we celebrate. The Old Testament Passover was part of the Old Covenant that was always destined to pass away and be replaced by the New Covenant, the New Testament, in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we will never celebrate a Passover Seder at our church. It's already been fulfilled, and it's all obsolete. It has been replaced by something far, far better. Christ, our Passover Lamb, has given us His Holy Supper, the Eucharist, which both replaces and surpasses all that came before. This is the New Testament Passover, the Christian Passover, the Passover that we call Easter, and the Passover meal that we call the Lord's Supper. And we will continue to celebrate it, not only on Maundy Thursday and not only on Easter, but every Sunday and sometimes in between for the rest of our earthly lives, proclaiming the Lord's death until He comes. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.